Well, big news was confirmed a very short time ago here at this very radio station at WGN. Turns out that we will be the home radio service of the Chicago White Sox. I know you're a little upset about this, Wendy. I understand that.
I can't tell you how happy I am. I don't have anything that's royal blue. And, you know, I know this has been a Cubs flagship for many, many years.
Sure.
I'm very excited I get to wear... girls wear black?
Proudly. Would it surprise you to know, Wendy, that I was once a White Sox season ticket holder?
No, that wouldn't surprise me at all. Of course, you flipped to the Cubs, because most everybody does.
I didn't flip anything. I liked baseball, and I had... It was 1983. I had the designated sitter plan, went to the All-Star game.
What is the designated... I remember hearing that, but I don't remember what that is.
It was... My buddy Kevin Wallace was a big Sox fan, and we were college roommates, so he got the... was behind it, but you pick 20 games. You could pick.
Oh, right.
And so we would drive down from Milwaukee and watch baseball. And the White Sox hosted the All-Star game that year.
Yeah.
Made it to the playoffs. I believe it was against the Baltimore Orioles.
Yeah.
So.
It's just sad. I'm sure you guys had the same thought that I did, that Oscar Gamble did not live to see this moment.
You know, you say that, but I'm actually thinking of a guy who I grew up across the street from.
Who's this?
A guy named Mike Quigley. And he was the biggest, foulest White Sox fan. And he would just kick my teeth in because I worked at WGN my whole life.
Yeah.
And Mike just passed a couple of months ago. And I'm sorry about that because he would have gotten a big laugh out of it.
You know, everybody, when the White Sox won the World Series a few years back, everybody had somebody they thought of. And for me, it was my father-in-law who was just a White Sox absolute fanatic and missed it by a couple of months. You know,
my grandpa Nino missed it by many, many years.
It's so sad.
But October 18th, 1969, a little-known studio musical group came out with an oddly named song that we just played. And it broke into the Billboard Top 100 chart. It would move all the way to number one. The group was called Steam. The song was Na 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 Na, Hey Hey Hey, Kiss 'Em Goodbye. Thanks to the efforts of Sox organist Nancy Faust, longtime Sox organist, it would become the song that Sox fans used to serenade pitchers being removed from the games. And now it's used at every stadium today, but it started on the South Side Nancy Faust.
That goes back to the Gamble era, doesn't it?
It does. It was right around 77 that song. It may have been the year before, either 75 or 76, I think she might have started. Now, she started it originally when they would pull pitchers out of the game, when the opposite team would pull a pitcher out. But then it became a home run anthem.
Yes.
All of a sudden, anytime a White Sox player hit a home run, the crowd would start to kind of sing it, and it became more synonymous with home runs than pitchers getting pulled out of games. You know,
yeah, I thought it was more like if you won the end of the game, too. You know, if you're hitter and, you know, it was used frequently.
Yeah. Steve, do we have the terms, the longevity of the deal? I know it starts almost immediately with some spring training games, but do we know how long the deal lasts?
The announcement I saw was a multi-year deal. I don't know how long.
All right.
I can probably find some people who know.
This is super great news. This is super great news. I have to do what I can to fill that guaranteed rate park.
Yes.
Field, whatever it is. The arrow's pointing down. We got to make a point up.
Right.
Because, really, I go there, and, you know, even when they're doing well, there's no one there.
Well, I think everybody involved is hoping that this is a step in changing that. You know, they'll get some pretty good play here on this station. And like I said, almost immediately, spring training is starting very, very soon. The pitchers and catchers are already reporting. So, this is very good news. I'm really happy.
Better food on the South Side.
They have colder
beers.
White Sox Park. Yeah. Yeah.
Modelo is now their sponsor. They have the Fundamentals, which I have to tell you is pretty great when you bring your family there.
The Fundamentals?
Oh, my God.
This?
You can run against, who is it? Scotty Pods. They might have updated it. Scotty Podsednik. Well, they have various Sox players that you can, just kids can play little things. It's so fun.
My favorite White Sox
batting
story
cages.
Is when I was 9 or 10, I don't remember which, Dick Allen was on the team. He was their all-star first baseman, Richie Allen. And my friend Bob and I just loved him. We idolized him. It seemed like every time he came up in a pressure situation, he had a home run. So one afternoon, we decided to call White Sox Park and just ask for him. You know, we go, hey, let's call White Sox Park and see
if
Richie Allen...
You were the first Bart Simpson.
Right. So my friend goes, well, they're not going to put him through. He's their all-star first baseman. And I go, well, you never know. And I knew. I mean, I was 9, but I wasn't an idiot. I knew that they weren't going to put him through. So we call up and we ask for him. And 30 seconds later, he's on the phone. How about that? We panicked.
That's so cool.
We both screamed and we hung up.
Oh,
we didn't know what
God.
To do. We didn't think we'd get to talk to Richie Allen.
That's pretty
impossible.
Crazy. All right. Well, that's good news. And we will talk about the White Sox again later on in the show. Also, breaking news yesterday as I was driving home of a police shooting, and Ryan Burrow is covering that. We're going to take a break and talk to him about that sad, tragic news that happened here in the city.
Yep. That's coming up in just a few moments.
All right. Yesterday, I was listening to the Rokan show, and news was breaking. 31-year veteran Chicago police commander Paul Bauer was shot and killed while helping out in a situation yesterday at the Thompson Center. Ryan Burrow, you're at Chicago Police Headquarters right now?
I am. And actually, if you drive by or you're anywhere near and in the vicinity, I mean, you can tell something pretty traumatic happened. They've put the flags at half staff. Looks like they're adding the traditional black and purple shroud above the doorways right now. They've got workers doing that, you know, obviously in memory of the police commander. We're all stationed out here, too. We've got microphones ready in case anyone comes out and talks. And the reason is we've still got some unanswered questions among them. You know, who was this suspected gunman in this case? We've gotten reports that this person has a pretty lengthy criminal history. We have not been able to go public with a name yet. And we'll see what kind of charges, you know, lead into this or come out of this. Obviously, prosecutors are probably going to have a lot of interest in prosecuting to the fullest extent of the law in this case.
Ryan, if you could, go through the series of events that took place yesterday in which Commander Bauer lost his life, if you wouldn't mind.
Yeah, it is a little bit fuzzy. Based on the information, very, very brief information we received from police, there was a tactical unit that was in downtown Chicago looking for this suspicious person. Now, witnesses had told us that perhaps there had been some kind of robbery in the area or something that that made them suspicious of this person. There was a chase that ensued, and at one point, the suspect ran down a staircase, it sounds, which is right next to the Thompson Center, and that's where shots were fired. Now, what happened inside of that staircase or how we got to that point, it's still very unclear. But it doesn't sound as though the staircase led to an open door. It sounded like a locked door. So it's possible that, you know, one or both or whoever, you know, there was only one way out, and that was to go back up the stairs. So we don't know when exactly shots were fired. Witnesses say they heard multiple popping noises. Obviously, that's downtown Chicago. You've got hundreds, maybe thousands of people out on the streets. And keep in mind, too, this happened around 1:30, 2 o'clock yesterday. I mean, this wasn't, you know, in the dead of night or early morning hours. So, you know, I think it kind of took the entire community by surprise. And when we found out that the officer was shot and later that the officer had died, you could see the emotion on the police superintendent's face, having worked with Commander Bauer and dealing with him for decades upon decades.
And you mentioned that this is in the middle of the afternoon, and with Commander Bauer jumping in as he was off duty that day just shows you what a hero he was, because it could have been way worse.
A small correction on that.
Okay.
We've been told that he was on duty at the time. There are all indications that he had at least a radio on him. We don't know why he was in the area. There have been reports that maybe he was doing some training at the Illinois Center there, the Thompson Center. So I think
so that has been corrected.
Yeah, 1:30 in the afternoon, a police commander in Chicago with a radio. I think that it's pretty safe to assume, and in fact, police confirming that he was on duty at the time, which kind of elevates this to a new level, right? I mean, we've had police officers die off duty before, but this was the first time in 7 years a police officer who is on duty. This was the commander and one of the highest-ranking police officers dying in decades. So it's been a long time since we've seen something like this in Chicago.
Ryan, do we know as of now if the shooter was acting alone or if there were others with him or not?
It seems that right now that this person may have been acting alone. Hopefully we get a little bit more information on that.
Yeah.
I do have a question. It seems like when a story breaks like this and a suspect has been apprehended and we're pretty sure he did it, a name has been announced. Is there some reason that this is being held back now? Is it because it involves a police commander?
Yeah, I mean, they're being very protective of this. They've got 36 hours, essentially, to press charges. And once the charges are officially filed, then at that point, you know, we'll have the name public and official. There are quite a few reporters here who have been working the beats for a long time who probably have a story already written with the person's name. We don't have that. You know, we're not withholding information, but we're just going to wait till officials finally come out with that. I think, you know, probably while people might be interested in the name, I think they're more concerned probably today with the commander and his family and how the police department is trying to cope with this.
And he leaves behind a wife and an 11-year-old daughter. It was very touching to watch the fire department vehicles extending their ladders and making an archway for Commander Bauer's body. Was that leaving from Northwestern Hospital?
Yeah, to the it was to the coroner's office. I was there when it left the hospital, and that was an impressive escort. Let me tell you, dozens upon dozens of police vehicles, some of them marked, some of them not, but they all had flashing blue lights, and there were people who were saluting when the ambulance went by. There were mounted horse as well at the location. So, you know, everyone knew the severity of this essentially right away, and, you know, they did the full-on police escort to the medical examiner's office.
Ryan, just to reiterate, at some point this morning, there will be a statement from the Chicago Police Department. More facts will be revealed. We expect that sometime probably within the next half hour or hour, correct?
We hope so. We'll have to see. We've got all of our microphones ready. And, you know, we'll see who comes out and who speaks. You know, this, I don't know if this is going to be still under the jurisdiction of the police or if the prosecutor is going to step out at some point or who knows. But we're on the ready just in case.
Sure.
And Chicago Police Commander Paul Bauer, I did not know him personally, and I heard nothing but great things. And yeah, he was known by a lot of people here. My heart goes out, our hearts go out to his wife and daughter. I know when you're married to or you are a police officer or you're living with one, or they're your parent, you expect them to come home for dinner that night. So really sorry to hear this news. Ryan, thank you so much, and great work yesterday covering this as it was breaking.
All right. Take care, guys.
Thanks so much, Ryan. That's our own Ryan Burrow covering the sad loss.
Breaks my heart.
Commander Paul Bauer. Yeah, rough. All right, we'll take a break, some news, and then a lot more show. Bill and Wendy, WGN.
All right, thank you, Steve. I am on my best behavior, and Bill is laughing at me. You're watching me talk to these men of the cloth.
Men of the cloth are here, ladies and gentlemen. Reverend Christian Kuhn and Father Tom Hurley. And I described you as holy men and shaman, and Wendy panicked over the word shaman, but that's a good thing. That's a holy person, right?
Well,
sure, yeah. I'll take it.
Yeah. Right. Wait, I'll find you here's the definition.
All right, Father Tom Hurley, pastor of Old St. Patrick's Church, Old St. Pat's, Reverend Christian Kuhn. You can go to urbanvillagechurch.org. You have multiple locations where you're giving mobile ashes today, basically, right?
Correct. They can see all of the locations on our Facebook page.
Okay.
Yep.
And that's urbanvillagechurch.org, or you can follow them on Facebook, Urban Village Church, I would imagine.
Yep.
All right, go ahead.
A person regarded as having access to an influence in the world of good and evil, especially among peoples of Northern Asia and North America. That's you guys.
That could be you, Bill.
That is me. It's all three of us. It's everyone in the room but you.
Why do you have to start like this?
It's an Ash Wednesday tradition.
Yeah. Yeah. Making an ash of myself.
You put the ash in Ash Wednesday.
Yep.
All right. So it's not, I'm Catholic. I don't know a lot about other religions. I certainly don't know a lot about the Jewish religion.
Oh.
I grew up in Brookfield and there weren't very many Jewish people. There was a great deli called Stein's Deli and Lyons, and that's all I know. And it's not just Catholics that get ashes. It's Christians, correct?
Correct. Yeah.
You can help me on this one.
More and more Protestant churches have been offering them over the years. So when this morning we were at Daily Plaza and we told folks these were ecumenical ashes, so folks from all walks of life came up to get ashed.
No paperwork.
Checking IDs.
And the symbolism is what? Explain the symbolism of the ashes.
Well, this is essentially the beginning of the Lenten season, and in the scriptures, dust is often used to talk about who we are as humans, and so we use dust as a way to symbolize the beginning of Lent. This is a season in the church that we call repentance, or a time of turning away from the things that take us away from God and turning toward God, and often engaging in spiritual practices during the season, too.
So that for the phrase that we all know, ashes to ashes, dust
correct
to dust, never more true than today.
Correct.
Yeah.
Cardinal Blaise Supich was on with Pete McMurray yesterday morning, and I was listening, and he had such a great message. You know, we all think about what we're going to give up for Lent, and he said, take it one step farther. If you are going to give up chocolate or something, then maybe give to a homeless shelter or something. If it involves food, isn't that a great message to do?
A terrific message. And
it's not just about giving up chocolate or beer or swearing.
Right, exactly. Those are good
things.
That's
what I'm giving up.
Swearing? Swearing.
All three?
Chocolate, beer, and swearing.
Which has the highest priority for you, Wendy?
The last one.
Yeah. Yep.
Well, you're right. I mean, I think it's not only what do we give up, but what are we going to do? You know, and how we transform the world for the good.
And we need a little of that good and kindness now. It seems like it's changed a little bit, hasn't it, recently?
No, I think
I'm not getting political here. It just it feels like people don't care about anybody else. They're just so hyper-focused on themselves. Even letting people in to merge or letting someone cross the street, we all have to help each other.
We had a liturgy today with the children of our school to begin Lent with Ash Wednesday, obviously. And there was a beautiful introduction that one of the kids read, and it was, and I've seen this before, but it was, you know, let's fast from, you know, hatred and let's feast on love.
Oh, nice.
Love
you know,
it.
Let's fast on gossip and let's feast on saying good things to people. You know, let's fast on violence and let's feast on peace. You know, it was a beautiful it was beautiful.
So you guys don't get like a quarterly report that you page through and go, look at sinning is up 3% this quarter over last. What do we got to change this immediately? That doesn't exist, right?
I don't know, Bill. We're shamans, so you know we have all kinds of information.
Exactly.
We've got the Bill Leff report.
I send that out every month.
We don't send like a confessional report around. You know,
no, you don't have that.
What we've heard.
No, but now here's something else. Cardinal Supich said yesterday that took us all by surprise. He said Sunday is a free day if you're staying away from certain kinds of foods or activities.
He made that
Sunday
up.
Sunday is a mulligan.
No,
day.
He's true.
He's true.
That is correct.
Oh.
Because in the tradition, it says that Sunday really is not a day of fast. It is a day of feasting because it's the day of the Lord. And so therefore, technically, he's correct that if you give something up, you're okay on Sunday. But I think if you're going to give it up, begin today. Don't touch it till Easter.
Wendy,
you can start swearing again on Easter.
Yeah. You don't want to be near her on Easter then.
Although,
wow.
Please reveal to Father Tom and Reverend Christian Kuhn that I don't swear as much as I used to.
Wendy
quit smoking in November.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And I was having knee surgery. I was told you'll heal better if you quit beforehand. I did. And I thought, you know what? My kids hate me smoking. I shouldn't be smoking. So I haven't picked it up again. And I have stopped swearing. Yeah. I have been nicer to you.
A lot nicer.
Oh. So
smoking
I don't...
leads to swearing and activity.
So what were the other? You've got beer and chocolate are next. Is what the other two things?
No,
that
I'm not even really a big chocolate lover either. And I haven't had that many beers since my...
Who are you?
You've had an early Lent, haven't you?
I guess. But I do need to go to church more. And that's something... Father Tom Hurley is here, pastor of Old St. Pat's. And I wonder, Christian, if you brought him, because I always wonder if your ashes are good enough for a Catholic. And I don't mean good enough. I mean, are they acceptable? Because there are a lot of people listening today that want to go to your Facebook page at Urban Village Church and figure out where the locations are, because we sometimes don't have time to go get ashes today.
I would like to think so.
They count,
Hurley,
right?
Come on. Absolutely.
Yeah.
We're in this together.
Yeah.
This is the beginning of a Christian time, a season, you know? And so... the ashes, Christian said it beautifully. You know, it's about forgiveness. It's about repentance.
Right.
It's remembering who we are. You know?
Right.
God wants to breathe some more life into us.
And I think that ties into what you had said earlier about wanting to engender more love and peace in the world. And actually, my kids go to Francis Xavier Ward at Old St. Pat's. And so, really appreciative of the relationship that we've had with Old St. Pat's. And so, we need more of that.
Good. Years ago, if you wanted ashes on Ash Wednesday, you had to go to a church. You had no alternative. Now you've changed it to where you go to the people. Do you anticipate a day where there is an ash app where you can just on your computer download?
There may be one now. Yeah, it could be virtual. Yeah. I don't know. That's you do it the real thing. I would say that. Yeah,
get the real thing.
Yeah. All right. I don't think you can order them on Amazon.
Not yet.
Ashes on.
It'll be Prime delivery soon enough. Yep. Okay, I am completely different with Father Hurley in here. I am really on my best behavior, and it makes me crazy because you are being a goof, and he's laughing at everything you say. I just want to tell you that going to church is a personal thing. I should go more, but every time I go, I feel wonderful. I feel great when I'm there. I feel great when I walk out. And it is an amazing thing because it's changed so much. It's not how being a Catholic, you know, everything was you had to wear a suit or dress up. At our church in LaGrange, St. Francis Xavier, kids can come in their soccer uniforms or Little League uniforms. They just want you there. It's really loosened up, so it's easier and better to go to church.
Well, I'm glad to hear you say that, and I think that's what it should be. You know, it's supposed to be hospitality, places of welcome, and I'm not here to correct you. You said it's, you know, it's a personal thing. Actually, it's a communal thing, you know, and we need each other, so we need you there. And
I need to go more. Well, that's what I'm going to. So I mean, I'm not going to give something up for Lent. I'm going to add something to my schedule for Lent. You can do
great. That's beautiful. Absolutely. Yep. Absolutely.
Do that, Wendy.
I'm going to cry.
Don't cry. There's no crying in religion.
I have a kid who's getting confirmed this year, and he's been blown off his CCD classes a little bit. I have another kid who played Judas in Jesus Christ Superstar, so I'm really worried I'm going to hell.
Notice neither man talked you out of that.
I know.
Both guys went, yeah,
thank
that's
you,
probably
Father
how the story ends. More ecumenical talk in just a moment. Do you have any questions or comments? We're at 312-981-7200. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Sorry.
There it is.
There we go.
That's better.
I get nervous when men of the cloth are in the studio. Reverend Christian Kuhn, co-founder and lead pastor of Urban Village Church. Go to their Facebook page, Urban Village Church, and you can find out where the pop-up ashes are today. And also Father Tom Hurley, pastor of Old St. Patrick's Church. We call it Old St. Pat's. Thank you for being up here today. I did get my ashes during the commercial break.
You did? You're good to go.
Yes. Christian, here's what I noticed. A lot of times in previous years, as you're giving the ashes, you say lyrics from a song.
Correct.
But not today with Wendy, you did with your lyrics
pretty sure. Yeah,
who was it?
Mumford and Sons.
Yeah.
Mumford and Sons.
Oh, I didn't hear that.
Yeah.
Oh, could you do some of that Camila Cabello for me?
Which one is that?
That Havana, na na na.
Havana,
I like
na 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 na.
I would like that on me.
In the name of the Father, na na na.
Na na na. That's pretty.
Next year, I'll take requests.
All right. That's beautiful.
Karaoke ashes or something.
Well, you are doing these pop-up ashes, and it is because people don't have a chance to get to church a lot on Ash Wednesday. Why don't you do like a pop-up confession? Everyone from upstairs in the office has been coming down to get ashes.
They all come down.
Would you set up a little booth, too?
No, because it's face-to-face now. I mean, I remember when that changed before, it would be more nerve-wracking to me to sit in the little confessional and you'd wait there and then all of a sudden the little window would open and that would freak me out. And then when you went face-to-face, it's like, you know me, I'll talk to anyone.
Yes.
I confess my sins to anyone who will listen to me. So it was easier for me.
How about that? How do you explain that? And seeing the priest made it easier for Wendy. It almost doesn't make sense. You'd think you'd want some anonymity.
I didn't do that.
No anonymity? No,
I didn't have many bad things to report on, I guess. For myself.
What's the worst penance you've ever given out? Like when somebody comes in and they give you the laundry list, what do you can't go, 10 million Hail Marys. You got to really work on this. Are you allowed to say what the biggest penance of all time is?
I've never.
They don't keep track of that.
I don't keep track. I couldn't tell you.
We had a tote board at our church.
And, all right, so eating meat on Friday during Lent, I can't do it. Something in me just will not allow me to do it. My husband went to 12 years of Catholic school, and he says that's not such a big issue, and he only doesn't eat meat on Friday because of me. Let's be honest about it. Catholics meet Friday during Lent. You're not supposed to eat it, are you?
Correct. And
if you completely forget it's a Friday.
Well, if you forget, if it's an accident, then that's, you know, that happens.
Okay, but if you willingly
Right, exactly. I mean, part of it is it's a thing of sacrifice. This is a season of sacrifice. It's a season of repentance. It's a season of, you know, just as we give things up, likewise, you know, it's just a gesture to say, and we're gonna give up eating meat.
Yeah.
But why a long-standing tradition.
So why would beef or pork be a sin, but trout or bass, that's okay? Why would that be?
Well, because back in the ancient days, to have had meat was something of a delicacy. Oh. Fish was the every person's meal.
You could go
meal,
fish out of a river and get your own
exactly.
stuff.
I would say to you that, you know, it's one thing to give up meat on Friday, but, you know, it's not exactly a big sacrifice if you're going to go to some big seafood house and have, right. you know, a 2-pound lobster right. or something. I don't think that's really a big sacrifice, you know.
I guess that's
You might want to rethink that a little bit.
I will call Shaw's Crab House and cancel. Yes. That's, all right.
But nobody, and I'm not pointing fingers, but someone told me the whole meat thing isn't true because of whose brother was a fisherman. Yes, that's the big story here. Yeah.
That's not true.
From non-Catholics.
I've heard that too.
Or sinning Catholics.
Yeah. I've heard that too, but I'd like to kind of keep it in the, you know.
All right.
Well, I mean, keep it to what it is, and it is. It's a form of sacrifice, you know.
Yeah.
And how do we do without so that we can celebrate the fullness of Easter?
Right.
You know?
Right.
And isn't it something to make you think of the Lord sometimes? So if you're like, oh, it's Friday, I can't eat meat. Oh, that's right, God exists. It's just a little another nudge yeah. that God is with you, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's one reason too why when people fast and they think about and when their stomach begins to growl, and so not only does it remind you of God, but hopefully it also perhaps reminds you that there are millions in the world who go without every day, and it hopefully builds up your own awareness and compassion in that way too.
Right. Right.
All right. I love that you met with the kids this morning, Father Hurley, and fast from the hatred and feast on love. That's a beautiful message. There were some more. But really, just try and be kind to someone. Isn't that the best thing to do during Lent? Try and better yourself and be nice to one another. Golden rule. It all goes back to it, doesn't it?
That's the whole point. I mean, this season is not meant to be a season that is burdensome. It's supposed to be, it's meant to be a season where, you know, where we look at our lives and how can we do better? You
right.
know, how can we be, you know, for people of faith, how can we be better disciples, you know? But likewise, how can we create a better world? We saw the horror and the tragedy yesterday, you know, in this city just a few blocks away, and just awful. And this is the stuff that happens each and every day. So I do believe these holy seasons call us to a certain sense of holiness and how do we make this world a holier place?
Still happy with the job that the Pope is doing, correct? Last time you were here, we talked about it. He really has come at things from a new direction, a very fresh direction.
Absolutely. I mean, yeah. I follow him on Twitter, and I just I found myself retweeting his stuff all the time because he just is a guy who's he's inspiration.
Yeah.
You know, he's just a wonderful source of inspiration. And not just for Catholic people, but for
everyone.
Think,
yeah. Absolutely. I'm not religious. I think he's a great guy. Did you ever think there'd be a time in your life where you said the phrase, I'm following the Pope on Twitter?
And I'm retweeting the Pope. That's what's killing
me. Seems very advanced, doesn't it?
How about it? Huh?
We need you guys to do us a small favor. I don't know if you heard the announcement, but this station, WGN, is now the official station of the Chicago White Sox.
Woo!
Could you bless the White Sox? We need a blessing for the White Sox. Is that a doable thing?
I would, but have you told people you're wearing a Cubs hat?
I am wearing a Cubs hat.
Yeah, and so any blessing I give, I don't know if that would take because, you know.
The C is for Christianity.
What's the little bear for?
Can't talk about it.
Although you are the only person I know, and I've known Bill a very long time, over 20 years, and he's always said, I'm a fan of both the Cubs and the Sox. And
yeah.
I'm like, you got to pick a side. I'm sorry, you have to. And he loves baseball.
Yeah.
You're really the only person I know who really, truly loves both.
We were fortunate enough to have season tickets to both teams when I was a kid.
Nice.
I went to just as many Cubs and White Sox games. I love both teams. I want to see both win. So it's possible.
You're
right?
Ecumenical, just like us.
Thank you.
Just
yes. Like us. That's exactly
okay,
right.
Okay, but if all the faiths can come together and Cubs fans and Sox fans, why can't Republicans and Democrats come together? That's the big
Guys,
question.
Is that one too impossible to even dream about?
Nothing's impossible.
Impossible.
Some things are harder than others.
Very right. slow to respond there.
Right,
which is
I noticed
okay.
that. I noticed that.
Thank you so much for blessing me and everyone else. Father Tom Hurley, pastor of Old St. Pat's Church. You're on Twitter, as everyone else is.
I am.
And
is the Pope following you on Twitter? I hope he
I
is.
I would hope so.
I hope he is.
That's a cool compliment,
yeah.
quite honestly. And Reverend Christian Kuhn, co-founder and lead pastor of Urban Village Church, you've been out and about already this morning giving ashes.
And I'll be at Ghirardelli Chocolate Store just north on Michigan Avenue from noon to one if folks want to stop on by.
And go to your Facebook page to find out the schedule. Thank you so much. Bless you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You can't do that.
I can, why
you
not?
Can't do that.
Can I bless you?
Wendy allowed to do that?
Why
yeah,
not?
It's all right.
Bless
even
you
without
for
sneezing?
Blessing me.
No sneezing,
if I sneezed,
right?
yeah.
Yeah, then it's all right. Thank you, guys. Quick break, some news, and then more show. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
My last, my everything.
It's such a romantic day today, Valentine's Day, and we're your Valentines, Bill and Wendy.
Yes.
They made us say that.
We didn't want to say it, but we're wearing pink. We've got frosting on us. It's ridiculous.
Clinical psychologist, certified life coach, parenting relationship expert, author, host of Undue Anxiety, friend of ours, Dr. John Duffy in the studio. Hello.
Hi, guys. Good to be here.
There can't be any Undue Anxiety on Valentine's Day. That's impossible.
None whatsoever.
Zero.
Everyone knows exactly what they're
right.
doing. The plans have been set for months. People are ready.
Yeah, it's the most perfect day of the year for everybody.
Exactly.
Although, didn't you do something for your wife a little before Valentine's Day, as I saw on social media?
I tend to protest this day, the specific day.
Interesting.
So I like to do something the day before. And so I usually buy Julie flowers or do something. And yesterday I bought her flowers and I put them in her art studio where she works. And I didn't like the way things looked, so I found a filthy paint-covered tarp, and I put that over the table, and somehow I got props for the tarp.
Oh. It
was a drop cloth, and it looked very artistic, and she should actually paint what you gave her.
Well, I love that idea, but I didn't know that the props would go to not the flowers, but in fact the
You're a liar. You have everything planned out. You're really the best husband ever.
I hate to change the mood, but something awful took place in the city as we lost one of our men in blue. You have done some work with the police over the years.
You know
a little bit about the psyche of what goes on in a police officer's mind. Let's talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, years ago, I did some consulting work with a few precincts in the city police departments in the suburbs, talking about emotional intelligence, talking about being aware of your emotions, being vulnerable enough to express them, and just kind of getting into an emotional place where you can do the job. And there were a couple of overriding themes that kind of jumped out of that work. One of them that struck me was boredom. Like oftentimes, this is a thankless, boring, endless job. These shifts go on forever, and oftentimes nothing happens. And then there are these moments, like what happened yesterday, that brings everything to the fore, every emotion to the fore. It is terrifying and reminds these guys and these women of the peril that they're in on a daily basis, because it's easy in the day-to-day-to-day to forget that. Because it just feels like I'm just going to work and doing my job and getting coffee and, you know,
but
like
John,
anybody else.
Do you think some of the forgetting the peril, is that a built-in defense mechanism? Because if you were a police officer and you thought about the danger all the time, you
wouldn't
go
to work.
No.
No, you have to be able to compartmentalize that and put that into a different part of your brain so that you can function when something happens, you know?
Yeah.
But if you can't do that, then I think you are kind of on this high alert that a lot of anxious people are on all the time.
Right.
And then you're less effective in doing that job. And that's what we were trying to do, is kind of manage that anxiety, whether it be driven by boredom or driven by the fear that something's going to happen.
Yeah.
I can't stop thinking about Commander Paul Bauer, 53 years old, 11-year-old daughter, a wife that he leaves behind. I didn't know him. I was listening as this news was breaking, and I can't stop thinking about him. It's Valentine's Day. I can't stop thinking about his wife and his daughter don't have their special Valentine today. I can't imagine what his wife is going through, like being mad at him for going after this perpetrator, but then being proud of him for being such a hero. I can't even imagine what she's going through today.
Yeah, and the only good news there is there's so much support for families when things like this happen. So one thing I know that the Chicago Police Department is set up for is to provide a lot of ongoing support to this woman who lost her husband, to this girl who lost her father. I suspect that as best they can be, they'll be taken care of emotionally and financially, and that's the only comfort I can find in that whole story, Wendy. But the truth is, you're right. You know, like, this is part of the job. And one thing we were talking about years ago, and I don't know how far they've come in this, is preparing families that something like this could happen. If it doesn't happen directly to their loved one, it could very well happen to somebody they're close to, and that they're going to have to deal with the fallout of that, because this is an emotional job.
I just can't imagine, you know, and you should take this to heart for everyone out there. You know, never leave to go to work angry because you just never know. I know that everyone married to a police officer, living with one or has one as a parent, expects them to be home for dinner that night. It doesn't always happen that way.
So true. You know, one thing I was thinking we might talk about when it comes to Valentine's Day is how stingy we are with the words I love you.
Yeah.
And in this case, you know, God, I hope they had an opportunity to say it.
So if you could,
yeah,
define that X factor that, that dangerous jobs have. You know, I understand that any one of us could go at any moment. There's no question in my mind. I understand that. But when you are a policeman and when you are a fireman and there's other jobs where danger is an element of the job, what do you have to do to mentally prepare yourself on any given day to know that it could potentially be your last day?
In my experience, there are a couple of things that play into that. One is this kind of like, oddly enough, given the circumstances, this zest for life. Like, you know, a lot of the officers I met were full of life and excited about their lives and yeah. excited about their work and driven to serve. And this was their biggest thing, is they wanted to serve in the best way they could. And to a person, I don't remember anybody feeling that this wasn't their best way. You know, and so I think that that X factor is just the wish to do the best job they can.
Yeah.
And they're willing to put themselves like soldiers, like firefighters, into harm's way in order to do that, knowing full well that if something happens, they will have gone the way they would have chosen to go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bill, you mentioned something off the air that there were other people in the news who died yesterday, and Commander Paul Bauer is getting the attention. In my heart, I'm thinking this is a public servant who probably protected so many more people by doing what he did at the Thompson Center in a very busy afternoon. The police officers have been getting such a bad rap lately with there are some bad ones.
Yeah.
There definitely are.
Yeah.
But when you hear these stories come forward of all that Commander Bauer did, it really makes you think that this was a really decorated, wonderful human being, and there are some out there.
It's an important reminder in the wake of kind of this onslaught of news about, you know, police officers being abusive to certain ethnic groups and things like that, that by and large, the people who choose to serve do so for a reason, right? You know, and these are by and large really, really good people.
As you worked with these police officers,
yeah.
What did you learn about them that surprised you? Was there anything that came across that you just went, wow, they're wired a little bit differently from most of us?
Yeah, there were a couple of things. One is they're way tougher than me. They're,
yeah, right.
they're willing to take on risks that most of us would not be willing to take on.
Yeah.
So there's this little bit of daredevil element. I went in thinking what I'm going to be working with is a dearth of emotional intelligence. I'm going to have to train that to these people.
Right.
I did not find that to be the case. You know, no. I think these people, by and large, are really good and maybe well-trained at reading people and understanding their own emotions and keeping those in check so that they can understand somebody else's, especially somebody who might cause them
right.
some kind of danger or somebody else in the public. So they really seem to have a degree of emotional intelligence that honestly, that surprised me
yeah,
the most.
Yeah.
I didn't expect to see that. I thought I was going to be teaching that.
What do you make of, I'm sure you've seen this, police officers have talked about this and you've probably seen it on TV shows or movies where they're trained in a dangerous situation to have this calming effect in the way that they speak. They're trying to find the level of whoever they're trying to talk down from doing something
right.
horrible by using a calming tone and making everything an even playing field. That's brilliant.
It's brilliant, and the idea behind that, from what I understand, is if somebody's in crisis,
yeah.
they're likely to do something foolish that
yeah.
they might not do otherwise. If you can take the crisis out of it, if you can make the situation calm, if you can really give somebody the impression that things are under control here. Everything's
yeah.
going to be fine. Everything's going to work out the way it's supposed to. And mean it, you know, with some degree of authenticity. You know, not necessarily will you be walking home free today, but we're all going to survive this as long as you can meet me on this level where I am.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's the psychology behind that.
And we forget that sometimes because even my younger son, Dylan, tells me, Mom, I don't like that tone. And I know it's funny that a parent should be saying that to a kid.
Right.
But sometimes, you know, it's not a crisis and I act like it is. So, you know, you got to watch how you speak.
Absolutely. True in most things in life, right? Crises
you know,
don't help us much.
No. And, you know, fire with fire, big bomb explodes. So one
more
needs
times
to be
than
calm.
Not. John, I have to ask you one more question about this. And it's kind of a dark question. And then we'll take a break
yeah.
and we'll come back and talk about something else. I've heard police officers talk about this. And actually, if you ever read the book, The New Centurions by Joseph Wombat deals with this a little bit.
Yeah.
Is that when police officers are done with their job, I guess you could compare this to astronauts, too, who have an element of this. There's something missing. They're used to a certain level of excitement that once they're away from the job, they don't have anymore. A lot of times it leads to divorce or to suicide.
Yes.
Or horrible, horrible things. What do you make of this? There is something in your brain. There is some sort of adrenaline from a job like that that you can't seem to recapture, right?
Yes, absolutely, Bill. Most of us gain some degree of purpose from our work.
Yeah.
But it's amped up, I think, when you're a police officer and you have this degree of purpose every single day. And then one day, suddenly you are out of that job, right?
Yeah.
You are retired. And to suddenly be without that day-to-day sense of purpose, it's depressing. It's anxiety-provoking. You don't know what to do with your time. I think we're doing a better job now of easing people into that retirement.
Yeah.
But it is really, really difficult. Psychologically, it's hard to find that sense of purpose post that kind of work, that intensive kind of work.
Sure.
After it's over. So you're absolutely right.
John Duffy is our guest. If you'd like to comment, if you have any questions, we're at 312-981-7200. You can call us there or you can text us there. More after this. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
I got sexy there because it's Valentine's Day.
I noticed that. Dr. John Duffy is here. We were kidding earlier saying there can't be any stress or pressure on Valentine's Day, but there is actually a little bit.
Not at all.
Just
I think there's
bit.
A little bit out there.
Yeah.
I think CVS's lines and every florist lines are jam-packed with guys trying to figure it out.
Can I tell you why? Here's my theory, John. Tell me if I'm right or wrong. A lot of women will say, I know it's Valentine's Day, but you don't have to get me anything. We're in love. I know I love you. You love me.
Yeah.
You don't have to get me anything. But if you don't get her anything, it's not going to go good.
Never in a million years believe that, right? That's a trap.
That's a trap.
For sure a trap. And, you know, it is an opportunity. I kind of protest Valentine's Day to some extent, but it is an opportunity to celebrate your relationship. But first, you have to tend to it. And this mm-hmm. This is the problem I have with a lot of people is they expect like fireworks to happen on Valentine's Day when they haven't really paid attention to each other. They haven't faced each other and mm-hmm. looked each other in the eye for, you know, 11 months. And now they expect like,
oh, this is the magical day.
This is going to be a big night. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And so my wife and I actually stumbled upon an exercise that is super cheesy. I'm going to warn you.
All right.
But actually works, and I encourage this for people on Valentine's Day. So what we were trying to do was kind of coach each other and write down all the great things about ourselves.
Yourselves as a couple?
About ourselves individually.
Individually.
This had nothing to do with Valentine's Day. This was probably in December.
Oh.
And Julie said, what if we did this for each other? What if I wrote for you because you're having trouble writing great things about you. I'm having trouble writing great things about me. So let's switch it up. And this was astonishing to both of us to hear our partner talk about how amazing we were.
Yeah.
And we realized, we never do this. And I don't know if anybody ever does this. So
yeah.
If there's an exercise I encourage that you might find to be a revelation today, it would be that. It'd be sitting down with your partner, talking to them about all the things that you are fond of in them, that you admire in them, that you think is great about them.
What if I came up with like 166 for my wife and she only had two for me? Would that be bad?
It's all, the two are weighted.
Yeah,
so I'm
right.
Sure it evens out.
Yeah, you would at least know that what you have to work on. Because then you'd see
right.
The great things she did and you're
right.
Like, maybe I should do that.
Yeah, all right. That's me.
That is a great idea because I'm serious. When you go through the rigmarole of everyday activities and you have younger kids, you do forget about your spouse sometimes. And like the goofiest things will make me happy. I saw Jimmy Mack out there shoveling and I took a picture of him like all bundled up and I said, thanks for taking care of us. And he looked at me like, what?
Mm-hmm. Right.
What do you need? I'm like, nothing. It was just really awesome to see you out there working so hard.
Yeah.
And I took a picture of him.
So it's those little things that you do and those little things that you note and appreciate. I think that's what carries you through the year. So even if you fumble on Valentine's Day, it's not the end of the world.
Right.
Yeah.
My wife and daughters do this to me all the time. They'll write me letters like either for my birthday or for Father's Day or something like this. And I just tear
you
up.
Weep.
I can't even. As soon as they hand me the envelope, I start crying. It's sick. It's so sick. But it is nice to hear the way you're perceived by the people you care the most about.
Yeah.
Right?
And you don't hear it enough.
No, yeah. We take each other for granted way too often, the people we care. And sometimes it goes way too far and we treat each other with animosity, right? The people we love the most. And
right.
So in order to kind of correct for that, eventually at times we have to remind ourselves, why am I with this person?
Yeah.
Why am I with this family? There are reasons for this. I love these people, you know?
Yeah, sure.
It's okay to say so.
We had this thing, and I've said this on the air before, and it all started with my mom. She was always nicer to the strangers. So we started saying the stranger's always right, because you want everyone on the outside to think you totally get where I'm coming from.
Oh, absolutely.
Though. I mean, and Bill, you mentioned it too, because my mom, she'd be yelling at me or hitting me with the wooden spoon, and then the phone would ring and she'd be like, hello?
Yeah.
You know, it's like the stranger's always right, but that's, you know, we hold it together all day. So sometimes we are meanest to people in our house.
Right.
And that's normal, isn't it?
There's something really adaptive and normal about that, and we have to expect that from our kids, from our spouses, from our significant others. But we have to protect a little time to do the reverse as well and talk about what we appreciate. I love the idea of Jimmy out in the snow and you taking that picture.
It made me feel so good because it was freezing out. We ordered a giant pizza and we all were hunkering in and not going out. And he's out there shoveling twice in one day. And I just took a picture of him because I said, thank you for taking care of us. We didn't even have to go out of the house.
Yeah.
It was a good feeling.
Yeah. Yeah, so we have to note the good feelings because all year long we tend to bring the lousy feelings home, yeah. Which is okay,
right?
As long as we balance it out.
Strange postscript to the story, John. Yeah. When he was done at his house, he came and did my driveway, and he made me cry. I just saw him do it. I went, he's protecting us.
And I thought that picture was lovely, too.
Thank you, John. Appreciate it. It's Dr. John
Duffy. Happy Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's Day, guys.
Let's say, John, people wanted to hear more of you. Is there a podcast or anything like that?
There happens to be a podcast. There is a podcast. It's called Undo Anxiety. You can find it right here at WGN Plus.
Excellent.
Or wherever your favorite podcasts are found.
Right.
That's right.
And now it's going to be you and Frank Thomas doing it together.
Exactly.
So be ready for that.
Who knew?
It's going to be exciting. Thank you, John.
Thanks, guys.
A quick break, then more show. Bill and Wendy, WGN. Wendy, you know who's here. It wouldn't be Valentine's Day unless the king of love, Pat McGann, joined us live in studio. Hello, Pat. How are you?
Happy Valentine's Day. The king of love.
What are you doing special for Valentine's Day since you are the king of love?
I'm working.
Yeah.
I'm working at Zany's tonight.
There's no holiday for you, the king of love.
There's no time for the love.
No. Don't you wish there was a little bit of time?
Yeah.
Set a little time apart. Before anything else, we received the news earlier this morning that this station, WGN, is now the official flagship station of the Chicago White Sox. As a longtime, lifetime White Sox fan, how does this affect you? Are you excited by this?
Yeah, I love it.
I am too.
It's huge.
Yep.
It's different, right?
Because, you know, WGN and the Cubs are such a Chicago thing.
For a long time. It's the White Sox.
Wendy and I are being replaced
by Chet Lemon. He's going to be in tomorrow doing our shift.
It's going
to
be great.
I do like that, you know, the WGN gave all their love to the Cubs for all these years, and the Blackhawks spans both Cubs and Sox fans, and now it's the Sox for a while.
Yeah.
And the Sox are going to start winning now. They rebuilt the team
a little bit. Couldn't be better, you know? It's almost like similar to the score picking up the Cubs.
Yeah.
You know?
You're right.
It paid off for them. I think that it'll be a great investment. How long is the deal for?
Multi-year. That's all we know at this point.
Multi-year.
So two.
At least. We're hoping for way more.
No, it's a good time to get in bed with the White Sox.
They've got the best farm system in all of baseball. And Orion Samuelson knows more about farming than anyone on the planet. So there's a tie-in right there.
Yeah.
He'll be doing the pregame and postgame shows. That's going to be exciting.
Giving you the soybean
price,
cost of bushels.
Are you still doing stuff? Because you did some work for the White Sox.
Yeah, I do a podcast with them. I missed Sox Fest this year. I was on the road and I couldn't do it. We were going to do some... that's always a great time to bank some of those podcasts because all the guys are there.
They
had like legends there, and
but
we are kind of going to relaunch the podcast in March.
Good.
I might try and get down to Camelback.
What is
spring training?
Oh, yeah.
In Arizona.
Yeah, I heard Kevin Powell's there. It sounds like a bad joke.
Camelback Ranch.
I mean,
Camelback Alley.
Yeah, I've never been down there. I heard it's beautiful.
And who, like you said, the White Sox legends are always at these things. Who have you met that really made your heart beat fast?
Well, Carlton Fisk was my favorite player growing up.
72, right?
Yeah.
I remember, like,
he could make a home run go the opposite way if he wanted to, just by pointing at it.
He's almost every Sox fan's favorite. That's Jimmy Mack's favorite as well.
Harold Baines.
Harold.
You know, all of a sudden they have so many of these great ambassadors, like, and they're Hall of Famers. Fisk, Tim Raines now,
Yeah.
Frank Thomas,
yep.
who's
He's a great guy.
He's a lot of
Bo
fun.
Bo Jackson's around at those things, yeah. And he's not a Hall of Famer, but God, Bo Jackson's probably one of the best athletes ever.
All right, I'm going to throw a name of a former White Sox player. You tell me his unusual characteristic.
Okay.
All right, Walt Williams.
No neck.
Yeah, he did not have a neck. Do you remember him?
No, but after you brought that up, I looked up a
Walt
picture.
Williams had
he
no
has
neck.
No neck.
He was a first base coach kind of when I was a kid. That's how
That's
I knew.
That's a terrible nickname, by the way.
No Neck Williams.
No Neck Williams.
That was his name. And he played alongside another White Sox with an interesting malady, Carlos May.
Carlos May was missing a thumb,
yes,
right?
He did not have a thumb.
Yeah, blew his thumb off and shooting
one
mortars.
One guy with no neck, one guy with no thumb.
Right.
They did not win the World Series that year.
Doesn't Carlos May also have another distinction as
what was it?
I believe he's the only baseball player to wear his birthday.
Oh, as
his jersey.
Yeah, I think you're right.
He was born like May 20th or 21st.
And his number was 28 and his name was May.
Yeah.
That's right. I forgot about that. Excellent. You should have a podcast. A
How
White
about
Sox
that?
Podcast.
That would a be fast excellent. Fact. That no was neck. New home of the no Chicago neck. White Sox.
Right. No Neck just died a couple years ago at 72.
Oh, no.
Well, you can't survive without a neck.
No, you need a neck.
I can't find a picture of him demonstrating no neck.
I didn't realize that.
No
that's,
poor,
that's too bad. Right. He was a legend.
I want to thank Branch Rickey. There was a time where if you didn't have a neck, you weren't allowed to play Major League Baseball. Branch Rickey changed all that.
Broke the no neck barrier.
Yes, he did. I watched the movie about that. That was exciting. That was very exciting. Can we talk about
he
your
has
New
a
year?
Neck, by the
he
way.
He does not have a neck. You can't your name can't be Walt No Neck Williams if you have a neck.
He's got a neck.
That's where that. His neck would be.
He's got a good head on his shoulders. Look at that. Really
That's
legit.
The magic
does look like
of
that.
Pat McGann, you know.
One time when he was a kid, the family was going to vacation in Long Neck, New York, and he just got so sad he couldn't go. The rest
he
of
likes
the
little neck
this
clams,
picture here,
though.
That one over there with the at-bat photo, like that looks really like
right.
It's hilarious.
Don't focus on the neck. He's telling the photographer.
I didn't know he passed away.
It's all about the neck. Check the neck,
check the neck. That's what they say. That's what they say. All right, your New Year's Eve special. I hope you were proud of it. Were you? I hope you were.
Yeah, I was excited about it. Yeah, I was excited that it had like the Chicago flavor. You know,
yeah,
that
it did.
Like distinctly Chicago, and it was so fun. We had a great team like working on it, and yeah, it was cool.
Will they do more?
Out.
I hope they do more with you.
I hope so. Yeah, I would love to do. I kind of wanted to do a St. Patrick's Day like spring.
Yeah.
Not necessarily all St. Patrick's Day, but like a spring special. Like
we need it because after this long winter.
You know what I want to do is an April Fool's special. That's what I want to do. Like April 1st. I think it even falls like on a weekend this year. And you could have like, you know, do the spring training stuff, do St. Patrick's Day, do all the spring stuff.
That would be great.
Yeah.
Now, did they, with this one, with the New Year's Eve special, did they come to you and pitch the idea or did you go to them? How did that play out?
Well, we had already had kind of a relationship. We worked on a project last year, kind of shot a couple pilot things.
Yeah.
And I had done their stand-up show. They were doing a Chicago one-night stand-up.
Yeah.
And then they kind of came to me and said, you know, what would you want to do if you did a show? And then the New Year's thing was their idea.
Was it?
Yeah.
Very enjoyable.
It was fun.
There was a segment where you were, I think you were called the life coach, where you were just kind of out on the streets helping people, passersby.
Yeah.
Who didn't necessarily want or need your help, but you wanted to help them anyway.
Yeah, I was a total jerk.
You were.
Screaming at people.
The exact
people
opposite
jogging down
of you.
Michigan Avenue. Yeah. Way to run on the busiest street in the city.
Well, I hope you do more of them, Pat, because honestly,
thanks, Bill.
The New Year's Eve in Chicago, I've said this before, and I don't know what it is, but sometimes it's not the best night for television, but it gave people who had that same kind of mindset something enjoyable to watch, something fun to watch.
That's what I wanted to do. I just wanted to give people hope.
Yeah.
As we go into 2018.
Right.
What is he, the love doctor?
The love doctor. Pat McGann.
You have such a great cross. That does look like Father Hurley's work.
Father Hurley actually didn't do it. He was
here
from Old St. Pat's, which I wish Pat would have seen him. He married you.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he's great.
He was here with Reverend Christian Coons, who did the actual ashes.
Because I remember, like, as a kid, they tell you you're going to get a cross in your forehead, and then you'd, like, run to the mirror, and
it never looked like a cross.
Because they always thumb it.
Right.
Why don't they use the index finger? That's your
right
more dexterity in the... They thumb it and it smears, and it usually
they should use their
solid.
Index finger and some graph paper and
right.
make it
trace it.
Yeah, they should trace.
They should have a stencil and right. just spray it
like the Christmas things on your windows.
Yeah.
Christian Kuhn, by the way, is the pastor of Urban Village Church, and if you go to their Facebook page, there's a lot of pop up ash places today, and he gives a perfect cross, and he also utters Mumford and Son lyrics
right.
when he does it. But
really?
Father yeah. Tom Hurley was also here just because I'm Catholic and I wanted to make sure that yeah. the non-Catholic ashes were okay for a Catholic. But
okay.
they are.
So they're pop-up?
Yeah.
Yeah. Everyone's so busy now. You don't have time.
There's no time anymore. The old days, you spent
drive
time.
Through.
At, yeah,
right.
but it's Ash Wednesday's hard to get off work to go
right.
to Mass. And, they have early morning or there's like a 4 o'clock one or
right.
7 tonight. So he was going to be at the Giardelli chocolate place.
Yeah, chocolate ashes, Pat.
Chocolate ashes?
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah, dark chocolate, no chocolate, white chocolate.
I don't feel bad about... It's not a holy day of obligation.
No, it is not. It isn't.
But I think Catholics are, they want to do it because you can tell if you went or not.
Right. It's easy to look at somebody.
Yeah, you could brand
it. Palm Sunday, not as easy.
Yeah.
Ash Wednesday, extremely easy. You just look at the guy's forehead. He would not do White Sox logos, we asked. Took too long. He goes, if it didn't take so long,
although,
I'd do it.
I have to tell you, and since you know Father Tom Hurley, who was here from Old St. Pat's, I was on my best behavior. Bill was on, honestly, his worst.
Yeah.
And Father Tom was laughing at everything Bill said. And then I felt stupid.
Yeah.
Really?
I was being too prim and proper.
He's got he's pretty chill. He's got a good sense of humor.
Yeah.
We're the new Catholics.
Yeah.
Yep.
How about it?
Exactly right. Yeah.
You got to be. You got to be. And I like
change with the times.
We used to go to Old St. Pat's when we lived on the north side. Now we live south, so we don't. We need to start going to...
How about the fact that not that long ago, they did the entire Mass in Latin, and most of the people there didn't understand a word of it, but they just did it like that forever.
It's ridiculous.
I don't know. I mean, I give them big kudos for going, we should try it in English and see what happens. That was a, that
right.
was a good move. What if your TV only played Latin?
And I heard the priest didn't even like face the congregation
right.
back then.
Always away
I'm
going
to face the opposite way and speak in a different language.
Like they used to do on
you
Bozo
just
Circus.
Sit there.
Same
yeah.
thing on Bozo Circus.
You know what, though? I got to admit, they changed... What you say back, mm-hmm. you know, peace be with you. It's
and
not
also
an,
with
it's
you?
Not an also with you
what
anymore.
Do they say
it's
now?
And with your spirit.
Yeah.
And they changed it, and I'm kind of old school on that.
Right. Well,
when did they change it back?
Several years
it used
ago.
To be that way, and then they changed it back.
Oh, okay, is that what happened? Because
yeah.
it's like peace be with you, and also with you. You don't do that anymore, and I still screw up once in a while.
Yeah.
Don't feel bad.
But I should. I don't go to church enough to know that it's now and with your spirit. That's
oh.
what you say.
Did you say the wrong thing out loud?
Not this time.
But you have in the past?
Well, yeah.
Oh, no.
And I know they changed it many years ago. It's been like 4 years or something.
Yeah.
I don't like it.
I have
it.
A theory on that.
What's your theory?
There's some... not
what?
Great things going on at the Catholic Church.
Oh,
so they're like,
well,
hey, let's
freshen it
some
up
diversion.
A bit.
Here's a diversion.
Yeah, right.
Change the conversation.
Right.
Literally.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, I don't
maybe.
Know.
And also with you.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
that,
with your spirit.
That flows better, right?
Or I'm not worthy to receive you under my roof. That's like what you say now instead of like, you know, Lord, I'm not worthy to receive you. Only
oh.
say the Lord.
And I shall be healed.
Yeah.
They did. They
yeah,
changed it.
That's
under
too
your
wordy.
Roof.
Okay. Well,
say peace be with you to me.
Peace be with you.
Ditto. I would just say ditto.
Ditto.
And you.
Right back at you.
Yeah, right back at you.
I always loved giving the peace sign to one of my sons who was an altar boy. When peace be with you, since I wasn't sitting with him, I'd just go,
yeah.
peace, man.
Oh, that's nice. That's got a 70s
vibe. Yeah, there's a lot of touching. Like, I don't do the hold. I don't hold hands.
My husband doesn't like to do
no?
that either.
Come on.
You have to.
It's like you're going pro. It's flu
no.
season. It's flu season.
That's
get away from me.
Jim
you
always
want to catch
sits
lice.
On the end. He will. He makes sure everyone's lined up so he's on the end, not
yeah.
to have to. I'm like, come on.
Oh,
we
no.
all come together. You don't like that either?
No, I don't hold hands. I don't put my arms up either.
Oh
like
my!
They do
what
that.
Do you do? Don't people look at you and shun you?
No. They I don't really go that often.
I don't
no.
either.
Oh, Pat, you got to go more
I
often.
I know.
We need to go with the White Sox. Let's go.
I have a
go.
Thing. I say if I start going, I'm going to go to that Saturday one at like 4 or 5.
Yeah,
like those are my people. That
the
they're
guitar
like
mass?
They're like admitting like we're getting banged up tonight. We got to get this out of the way.
I like
There's no
it.
Way we're getting up tomorrow. Like you should be able to tailgate that mass.
I'll
like
join
church
you.
Starts at 4. We're going to be in the parking lot at 2. We'll play some bags. If you want to bring a dip.
Yeah, that's progressive. That's the way to look at it. Pat McGann is here. He's going to be at Zany's. We'll give you more information about how you can see Pat coming up next. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Pat McGann is here. One of our favorite, most funny people we have ever met, ever.
Oh, man.
No, I'm not just saying that, Pat. You know what's great about Pat? is you can text him that you want him to bring you pudding for the show. And then what do?
I brought it, man.
You brought pudding.
But not the right flavor. I felt bad about that.
And you brought chocolate, but there's no reason to be embarrassed about that. Butterscotch is hard to find this time of year.
It really is.
Yeah, it's not the season for butterscotch.
Yeah, I went to Jewel. Yeah.
You got to stop asking our guests to bring you things.
Yeah, I've been doing that a lot.
Have you really?
Yeah.
Only your comic friends.
I asked Steve Dale to bring me a hot tub, and he said it was too big. He couldn't do it.
I was happy to bring something.
That was very nice.
I feel like bad that I've been coming in empty-handed all these other times.
You should bring.
I'm going to bring something every time now.
You should do that. That's your thing. I think that's polite.
Stop asking now.
Very polite. Give us your zany schedule. We know you're there tonight for Valentine's Day.
Yeah, that's really it. I'm there tonight, and then I'm back.
Which zanies?
The original in Old Town.
On Wells.
40 years they're celebrating.
Wow.
And Bill Leff is in the 40-year anniversary video that they're playing before the shows now, this all year long.
What am I doing in the video?
You are talking about the shape of the room. I think you say it's like a shoebox, and it's intimate and tight, the energy in there.
Where did they get that? I don't remember doing that.
It's you, unless it was just like superimposed.
Unless it was you Jake Gyllenhaal pretending to be me again.
Yeah, I don't think
it's
so.
It's just like 30 seconds of you eating pudding.
I wish you would do that again. Just go on stage and eat pudding like you used to do in the old days.
That was my whole act.
Butterscotch, though.
Traditional stand-up, as you know, is punchlines and stuff like that, but I would just have a vat of pudding. When I was done, I was done.
It's amazing that it's 40 years, really.
Isn't it, though?
Congratulations, Zanies.
Yeah. That's quite an undertaking. And when you're there, you look on the wall of all these people that were young comics that you go, that guy might make it, she might make it, we don't know. And then a lot of them went to the top.
Oh, yeah. The headshots they have there, like, you know, they look like kids. Jay Leno, Jerry Seinfeld. They dug up, they were going through like old files and stuff. They found a letter that Ellen wrote.
Ellen
just
DeGeneres.
To get booked as like a middle.
Really?
Handwritten letter from Ellen DeGeneres.
All right, here's a fun game we can play with you, Wendy. I know Pat will know this, and I know this. What stand-up comic's picture is up at Zany's where you get to see his butt?
Oh, that's a great question.
Do you know that one?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Gene Shalit.
How did you know?
That's amazing.
That is.
That's a million to one that you would get that. And you
he's not even a comic.
I know. I have no idea.
He didn't perform there. He just sent them a picture of his butt. Gene
I've seen his picture everywhere. Critic, wasn't he?
You think his face is hairy.
Yeah.
I have. Would I know who this is?
I don't want any more pudding. You would definitely know who he is. He has been
a
guest on our show.
He has a Cubs hat on, too, in the picture.
Yep. And
he's
that's
from
all.
Harvey, Illinois.
Oh, Tom Dreesen?
Tom Dreesen in his headshot. It's not even a headshot. It's a butt shot. You have
oh,
to
my
see
God.
His butt.
Really?
Yep.
I went to a Christmas party.
So if you don't want to see me tonight, but you're curious about Tom Dreesen's butt.
There's going to be two lines in front of Zany's tonight. Half the people to see the show, another half. We were listening on the radio earlier. There's a picture of Tom Dreesen's butt. We just want to take a quick look, and then we're on our way.
I want people to go see you at Zany's. It's a great place, and you can see Tom Dreesen's butt. But I also noticed that you're going to be at the LaGrange Theater doing stand-up with Mike Toomey and Anna Balaval, and I think, hey, buddy, Pete McMurray is on. Seeing. I live in LaGrange, and I want to go see you.
That's a great Pete McMurray.
No, you got to do it faster. Do it faster.
Hey, buddy. I love it. Oh, it's great. Yes, March 8th. It's and I've done stand-up there before. It's a nice little theater for stand-up. And it's a great cause. It's for pediatric cancer.
Oh, nice.
It's the H
I'm
Foundation.
Going.
Yeah.
You got to see. This
yeah,
is going to be a
good
night.
It's Mike Toomey and Pat McGann and all about what's her name? And hey, buddy.
And hey, buddy.
Oh, that's a great show. And you've been doing the Chicago Theater. You've been opening for Sebastian Maniscalco. When he's there, you're
yeah,
there.
That's
yeah,
that's awesome.
Yeah, so that should be fun. I've been touring all over with him. That's why I'm not doing as much zany stuff. Like
more corporate stuff with him?
I'm doing, no, just his tour.
He doesn't
going
do corporate.
All over the country.
No, he does do a bunch of corporate stuff, right?
Really?
I do, yeah.
Well, you do. Yeah.
But he's big time now.
Yeah. I mean, we're doing Air Canada Center in March. He sold it out, 20,000 people. He sold out six at Radio City Music Hall we're doing
in
April.
And the Chicago Theater, a bunch of shows.
He's filming a special. Yeah, he's got a book coming out. It's great.
He cray-cray.
That's, yes.
He's
well,
killing it.
Well said, Wendy. He
is cray-cray.
He cray-cray, yeah.
So nice to see you.
I love Wendy. Just over. Hey, buddy. Cray-cray. Hey, buddy.
We're just trying to sell t-shirts, Pat. That's all we're trying to do is sell some t-shirts. It's Pat McGann, everybody. Go see him at Zany's. As an added bonus, of course, you get to see Tom Dreesen's butt. It's a fun-filled Valentine's, the kind you've dreamt about. Thank you, Pat.
Thanks for having me, guys.
We'll take a quick break and then find out what Steve has next. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.